Book of Ezekiel, chapter 9. We just nicely getting in to this chapter and gave first message, gave introduction, overview of the whole chapter as we most generally tend to do with Ezekiel. And then we began looking at the first point, which is the summons. He that appeared to the prophet, got to go back to chapter 8, and you see him appearing to the prophet, taking him by the hand, leading him to Jerusalem, that is in the spirit, and to the temple, and showing him the horrendous idolatry, the forsaking of God that had taken place even in the house of God. And this one that took him by the hand, this one that showed himself to the prophet, was the likeness from the first chapter, of the one who sat upon the throne, which we remember the study of the first chapter was the Son of God, was the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of God. We last time looked at the fact that how this was given to Ezekiel, and it was given to Ezekiel with great emphasis. He said in verse 1, he said, "He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand." He cried in my ears. Well, crying would speak something louder than just a regular, normal, conversational tone. A crying would speak of a louder decibels. In mine ear. He got right in mine ear. And with a loud voice. Maybe this fourth. Our main emphasis and thought that we wanted to take away from that last time was he wanted Ezekiel to hear. It was important that he hear the instructions that he was going to give him. We titled that thought, "Do You Hear? Do you hear?" The Lord all the time is His people is wanting to give His people instructions in His Word. He's given us His Word. He wants us to read His Word. Do you hear Him speaking to you? We read the words and we see the words, but do we hear what it's saying to us? It's important. It's instructions. It's the Word of God. It is important because it spells out our responsibility as a watchman to sound out the warning. The scripture is full of warning. Ezekiel is full of, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And we need to be proclaiming to all people that all are sinners. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So that was the main thought that we were trying to portray and to take away from there, is that He wants us to hear. He wanted Ezekiel to hear what He had to say, and us today, He wants us to hear what He has to say. Tonight, we want to consider what the cry was. What was this cry? What was that which he said in Ezekiel's ear with a loud voice? Well, we just read it. He said, "Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near." Cause them. And at first when I studied this, I didn't get hung up on the word cause. I thought about it, but I hadn't put anything down on it until this afternoon when I was looking it over again and studying, and I thought, well, I intended to get something down on that. Cause them to hear. Cause them to have the charge over the city to draw near. Well, the word cause means to urge, to impel, to implore. Sometimes we do that. And we do that, we urge and we impel, but not without much results. This word actually means with results. he was to impel with effect, with effectiveness. He was to be effective in this urging, and what would it mean to be effective in this urging? To cause them to draw near is what it would mean. To come. Draw near. Listen. He wanted his servants, and that's who these were. He said, cause them to have the charge over the city. He wanted those that had the charge over the city, in other words, they were his servants, to draw near. He wanted them to come near, to approach unto him. Much as we would do when we summons for a powwow, for a meeting of importance. Listen. He says to you and I tonight, as servants of his, we are servants of his. He wants us to draw near. Doesn't he? And allow us sweet to draw near. To approach unto him. And this word here, draw near, is only used a couple times in the Old Testament. And it comes from a word that literally meant to enter in. To enter in to a relationship with him. To enter in. We say Christ in us. And we're in Christ. We've entered in. We've come near. And God wants us on a daily basis, as his children, he wants us to draw near. He wants us to approach unto him. He wants us to enter into communion with him, into fellowship with him. Why? Well, these ones here, these ones that had charge over the city, he wanted them to approach unto him because he had instructions for them. He has instructions for you and I. And He wants us to draw near. And those instructions can take on words of encouragement. They can take on words of reproof and rebuke and exhortation. You see? He wants us to draw near for strength. As we go through this ninth chapter, these that were given the charge over the city and that were to be caused to draw near, they came near and they received strength. They received strength from him to do the task which he was giving them to do. I'm sure we discussed this when Ezekiel was told to be a watchman. He gave Ezekiel strength and courage to do. He told him, he said, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid if they be like scorpions. He says, in the next chapter, or a few verses later, he says, I'm going to make your face adamant before them. He gives us strength for the work. So, his words of instruction, it's for encouragement, and it's for strength. And so we are to, as His people, are to draw near. As His servants, we're to draw near. We need strength. We need strength. And listen, we need strength. That's why we come to the house of the Lord, to receive spiritual strength to continue on in this wicked world. When all, it seems sometimes that all around us are forsaking the Lord and leaving the Lord, leaving the house of the Lord, or should be left the house of the Lord. But for us to remain steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, we need to draw near. And drawing near, we get that strength. We get strength here. We get strength in praying to the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms in chapter 73. Look with me at verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy words. This verse here says, it is good for me to draw near. You know what the Christians are today? You know what most of the church members are today? Well, what benefit is it to me physically? Is it going to put any money in my pocket? Is it going to help me to live any better? Is it going to help me to live on that mansion up on the mountain? That's what our thoughts are today. If we be honest, the psalmist said, it's good for me to draw near to God. You see, he realized in drawing near to God, there was his source of strength. There was his source of encouragement. There was instructions that he needed to carry on in this old wicked world. And the psalmist had many enemies who besought him, he says, daily. Well, we have many enemies that seek us daily, don't they? Don't we? Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 58. And look with me here at verse 2. It said, yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. That word approaching, the same word, draw near. Same word. Approaching to God. He says, they seek me, they delight in me. They delighted in approaching unto God. Do we delight in approaching unto God? Or is that just something, well, we should do? I better do it. I don't really feel like it. But it better. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, verse that we all know now. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and help and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come. That's a word that means approach unto God. Approach right unto His throne. Listen, brothers and sisters, we can do that. We don't need a priest to do it for us. Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He's already done it for us. And so now each one of us can come to the throne of God and find help in the time of need. Chapter 10 and verse 22, another one. Says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You see, in our drawing near to God, that's where we get what we need. That's where that we get the strength that we need to consider one another, to grow on the love and the good works, to agitate, to incite one another unto love and the good works. Why? Because we've been with the Lord, and He's instructed us in it. He's encouraged us in His love. And so we encourage our brothers and sisters in the work of the Lord. And you know what? His servants do. His servants, His people, do draw near to Him. He said, them that have the charge over the city, cause them to have the charge over the city to draw near. Well, what could this mean? There are some that have the charge over the city. Well, would that be like our city government? Would that be like our state government? Would it be such a ones as those that he's talking about? No, if we keep in the context here and continue to read and continue to study as we shall, well, that's not what he's talking about. Quite a few of the commentaries believe that these were angels that had been given charge over the city, and that were the guardians of it, watching over the city and keeping the city. I can go along with that. I think it could have been angels. They were to be they were in the past guardians of the city, keeping Jerusalem, keeping the temple safe. But now they're to be the destroyers of the city. You know, sometimes he used angels, without a doubt. Some of you men, maybe it was Brother Ron, spoke about angels here one time filling in for us. But turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. In chapter 24. And angels were at times called upon of God to be not a guardian, but a destroyer of the city. 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 16. If you recall the incident here, David had, I don't know if he was, he must have been thinking of a name for himself, because he numbered the people, had the people numbered, and they weren't supposed to do that, and brought the judgment of God. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, see, God incorporated an angel to destroy the city. The Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, "It is enough, stay now thine hand." And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Arunah, the Jebusite. And that was after that the pestilence had destroyed like 70,000 men from the city. So the angel was incorporated there. In another place in the book of 2 Kings in chapter 19, and we'll read verse 35. You remember Hezekiah. You remember the Assyrians came up upon Hezekiah. I forget the name of the king now. They came upon him, and Hezekiah, they had written a letter to Hezekiah, and Hezekiah had taken the letters and spread them before the Lord and prayed over them and so forth. Notice what happens here in verse 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. That is, one angel of the Lord went through the camp of the Assyrians and slew 145,000 Assyrians. And they were all dead corpses. Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34. And verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. I like that. Encampeth. How do you say it? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about. There's no part of me that's not protected. Because the angel of the Lord is round about them that fear him. If you're the Lord tonight, you've got an angel of the Lord encamped round about you. And we've just seen how mighty the angels are.
No match for all the forces of the world. You see. Praise God. So we're look at the 91st chapter and what he says in the 91st chapter of the Psalms in verse 11. He says this, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." To keep thee in all thy ways. Listen, I don't know. This makes it sound like we have more than one angel. This is written concerning the godly. This Psalms is happy, the happy state, shall we say, of the godly. And you go down through these verses, we're in a happy place. But the point tonight is, he gives his angels charge over us to keep us. Protect us. Yes. Kind of quizzical that we read Brother Kraft's letter right tonight, isn't it? On the night that we had this message. Brother Kraft doesn't have a thing to worry about. We don't have a thing to worry about. Then why do we worry so much? Huh? Why do we worry so much? Well, because we just don't know what the Lord may allow us to go through. And I might not like it. Well, do we trust Him? Do we trust Him if He allows us to go through something to give us the grace to go through it? And to give Him the glory? Well, there goes back to trust, goes back to faith, doesn't it? Look at in Hebrews, in case you want a New Testament chapter verse, Hebrews chapter 1. Said in verse 13, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Set on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'?" Talking about Jesus Christ being greater than the angels. Are they not the angels, all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? What does that tell you, brother? What tells me that my whole life, from the time I was born, because I was marked for salvation, His angels were giving charge over me my whole life. I've told you about being able to look back in instances of my life before salvation when, normally, humanly speaking, I should have been dead. His angels just keeping me safe. Why? Because the day of my salvation hadn't come yet. And He had a work for me to do beyond salvation as a child of His. He didn't just save you as a fire escape from hell. It's for His honor and glory, yes. And you're to be used in His service for His honor and for His glory. And His angels are keeping us. Well, could have been angels that were being summoned. Or this could have been the Chaldean army. My goodness, where'd the time go? I'm going to stop right there. We'll finish this up next week and then maybe get into the second point. Because there
some rooms. They're caused to draw near, and they come. But keep that thought. Could have been angels. It wasn't angels. I'm convinced it wasn't angels. Could have been, but I'm convinced it wasn't. We'll get into that next week. Shall we stand, be dismissed, and...